There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Thank you so much, Brother James. It's wonderful to sing
in the midst of the week. It would be nice to sing even more.
May the Lord lead us and guide us.
So God bless. Happy New Year to each and everybody who's joined.
Just getting our things ready there on the SSG chair.
So God bless, saints. We wanted to start off our Bible studies this year looking at a certain topic on overcoming. And we do greet everybody who's joining from the fourth dimension, from the digital dimension. We've changed a little bit to those who haven't been with us for a little bit. We, since December, we've been holding our Bible studies as a bit of a hybrid, just so we can fellowship with the saints up around our area here in Northern Ireland. And I heard from Brother Tendai this week, he's coming back beginning of March, and he'll be moving up with his family to either Lisbon or Newry, so he'll be joining us as well. So Sister and Brother Alex couldn't come because of sickness. We do just pray that the Lord will help them. But it's good to be here. It's good to fellowship around the word. And what you wanted to have a look at as a starting point is the principles of overcoming. You know, there's so many things that says in the Bible about overcoming. Let's read Revelation chapter 3. Let's just see the promise to the overcomer in our age and get ourselves a starting point from there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 up to 22. We do greet everybody else who's joining in there. We're on YouTube as well, and God bless you, saints. If you do have any questions, you know, send them along, put them in the chat, and we'll try to see if we can cover them at the end if there are any questions. Revelation 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father, thank you for your word. Be it unto us according to your word. Guide us and lead us and help us, Lord. We desire to be greater overcomers this year, Lord. May you help us, we pray. We thank you for the things of last year. We, Father, repent of our shortcomings. We thank you for your grace that was with us, Lord. And we pray the same for this year. And even as we open up this topic at the beginning of the year, as ever, we desire your grace. Lord, we need your mercy. We pray for your people that are here. We pray for your people tuned in different places, that your blessing would be upon them. I pray for them that are sick upon this night, that you'll touch them and heal them. And just minister to the needs of each and every one of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's be seated. God bless you, saints. So we're looking at this one of the principles of overcoming, because overcoming is such an important thing. Where this thought came was when we had Brother Max Jr., when he took the New Year's Eve meeting, and then we had the prayer line. And I saw it with so many of the young people coming for prayer that it's maybe sometimes several times somebody's asked for prayer about the same thing. That happens a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. It simply means when you're going around and keep coming back to the same situation, you haven't yet learned the principles of overcoming in that situation. So the Lord, he doesn't allow us to move on until we learn the lessons we're supposed to learn from the current situation that we're in. And then I thought of it, and I thought it would be so good to have a look again at some of these principles of overcoming. Because like we say it all the time in the message, how can I overcome? Brother says, it's a principle of how I can overcome. So it's like using your weapons, learning to use your sword, using your slingshot or whatever that it is. Now, once you learn to use your weapons efficiently, it doesn't really matter what sort of enemy, doesn't really matter what sort of situation rises up, you know how to use your weapons. It could be a lion, it could be a bear, it could be a Goliath. It doesn't really matter because you've learned the principles of war. And in the book of Joshua and in the book of Judges, it says the Lord, he never took Israel directly in out of Egypt by the way of the Philistines, because they hadn't yet learned the art of war. And the people would have been too scared, would have gone back. So he took them around in the wilderness so he could teach them war. And then he says in Joshua, he never drove out all of the armies out of the promised land immediately from them. He said, because he wanted to teach them the principles of how to fight. So that's the same as with us. That's how when you become a believer, not everything all of a sudden goes perfect in your life. In fact, it's normally the opposite. You normally find you have a lot of opposition, a lot of things rise up. And each and every one of those things, the Lord permits them because all things work together according to his purpose. And he's trying to teach us principles. He's trying to teach us how to overcome. You might have a bad temper, and the Lord brings situations in your life to manifest your temper. You know, it's not because the Lord wants to keep poking you in that situation, but he wants you to realize that you need to learn the principles of overcoming, of how to overcome. And in every situation, it's the same thing. So I thought maybe to start off this evening to put a bit of a background on the importance of overcoming. You know, we'll really see it. Overcoming is such an important principle in the life of a believer. Yeah. So what is it to overcome? Sorry, I just need to click on this guy here. Yeah. Okay, what is it to overcome? What is the principle? I'm taking these from the Message. Abraham says to overcome means to stand the test. Now that's the real key thing, like the old saints did, like Jesus did. So we read about it in Revelation 3 when Jesus said, he that overcomes will sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame, Jesus said, and I'm seated with my Father on his throne. So Jesus is the great overcomer. And in reality, we'll see it. There's only one way you can overcome, and that is to have Christ really, really real inside of your life, because he's the only overcomer. He's the only one who's worthy. He's the only one who prevailed and overcome to take the book, to break the seals. Now, everything is tied up in him. We'll see it as we go, and you can never overcome by yourself. Yeah, how can the flesh overcome the flesh? How can you overcome yourself? I mean, hey, that's a serious battle to fight against yourself. Because you know, whenever you win, you lose as well if you're fighting against yourself. So you can't. You know, so you're going to need principles. You're going to need resources. You're going to need divine clothing, divine armor, and things like that to quicken and enable you to overcome. And that's why you will become an overcomer. You'll never become an overcomer in yourself. I can never become an overcomer in myself, because in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh, there's no good thing. That there's nothing good. This flesh, the mind of the flesh, he says, is enmity against God. It fights against God. This flesh doesn't love the things of God, but the soul does. You know, so we need to overcome, to stand the test like Jesus did. And in that message, how can I overcome? He gets on to how Jesus overcame. And it's a very wonderful message to listen to. He also says, to overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. I say that is the big, big thing, to discern the devil in a situation. Now, we don't want to be, you know, Pentecostals that the devil is in everything. You know, everything's a curse, and it's a curse from your father, and it's a curse from your mother's side, and it's a curse from Auntie Lucy, and you know, and everything that happens inside of your life is a curse. That's not true. Christ bore our curse on the cross. And if you're dead in Christ, you are not an heir of curses, you're an heir of blessing. You know, so we don't inherit curses generationally in that way anymore if you come through the blood. You know, that one sister who was born out of wedlock, she was actually, you know, was an illegitimate child. And she's so much worried because in the Old Testament, an illegitimate child couldn't enter the congregation of the Lord for 20 generations, I think it was, or 10 generations. 10 generations, I think. And so she thought, look, there's no real hope for me. And she went to Brother Ram and said, but what about me? And he said, that's the outward man. That's not the soul. That's the old covenant, the natural man now. He was cursed because of the sin. But he said, that doesn't apply to the soul of a believer, because your soul never came from your mother and your father. You know, so once you come through the blood, those things don't apply anymore. Now you're starting off afresh, and that's a good thing with the blood, is that it'll never lose its power. And every single day can be a new beginning to a believer. It doesn't matter how bad the day was yesterday, today is a new day. And you just come by the way of the blood, and every day has the potential to be the beginning of something wonderful. And that's the Lord's desire in these things. So we want to recognize the devil. Now we've got to see him. He's very cunning how he comes, because many times the devil will come and you'll think it's you thinking, and it's not. You know, it's his influence, because it's the greatest battle ever fought. Sometimes he can come through other people, like Job's wife. Yeah, because exactly what Job's wife was said on earth was what the devil had said to the Lord in heaven. You know, when he's saying about Job, it's very interesting to see. Yeah, and then Job's friends, they came. Yeah, the devil, he found another avenue. And you've got to recognize the devil in his tricks. It's hard to defeat an enemy if you don't recognize him in the battle. That is a real, that's what Israel was doing with those pages and all that. You know, and all their technology they use and all their spies and they're masters at it. Now they get right into the mind of the enemy. And once you destroy the enemy in his mind, he's in a lot of trouble. Yeah, and that's what Satan wants. So we need to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. We desire to do that this year, to be wiser, to be better equipped. But in the message, how can I overcome? The prophet says they're overcomers in every age. You know, God has made sure that down through time, in every single age, he has put his people. He's put the overcomers in every age. There's never been an age since the beginning of time that God didn't have overcomers there. And he goes on to say in this message, God has always had overcomers in every age. Always, every time, in every age, God has always had somebody he could put his hands on as a witness in the earth. And that should be your desire and mine for this year, despite the fact we hold this treasure in an earthen vessel, but to say, oh Lord, help me to overcome self in a greater way so that you may be glorified in me. I mean, that's really what you want. So we can be a better witness in this age that we're living. God bless. No, no problem. Come in. Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes. We're just speaking about overcoming. That's our topic this evening. I don't think any of us no Christian would not desire to be a greater overcomer. Because there's so much we need to overcome. There's the world. I mean, and the world is getting more and more, it's darker and darker, and it's becoming more and more oppressive to genuine faith, oppressive to genuine light. So the world is not going to get any easier. The flesh, I mean, the flesh doesn't have a holiday and take a day off and say, look, I'm going to help you worship God tomorrow. The flesh doesn't do that. And the devil's never going to become your friends, you know. So this battle that we're in, which we declare war when we become believers, we need more and more to understand how to overcome. And the more we can overcome, the more effective we become. The more Christ-like we become, the more he can reflect himself in our lives, the more and a greater witness we can be in the earth, which is our desire, which is why if the Lord wanted to, when you were saved, he could have taken you straight into glory. But he chose after you were saved to leave you here. So there's a purpose in that. Not only to develop your character, but so you can shine the light, so you can be a greater witness. And I know what it is like when you go out on the streets. I remember the first few times we went out street evangelizing. It's not an easy thing to the flesh. It's not an easy thing. But when you go out after a while, especially if you're in the spirit, you learn how to overcome yourself. And then you can outdo the will of the Father, like Jesus would do the same kind of a thing. So that's what we are. Now, the point is the bride is comprised only of overcomers. Every single person in the bride, even in the Old Testament bride and the New Testament, every single member of the bride is an overcomer. You cannot be in the bride if you're not an overcomer. You know, to be in the bride, you have to be an overcomer, scripturally speaking. You know, there's no way. God doesn't do workmanship that fails. The Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God doesn't start a work inside of you and then the work fizzles out in the middle. No, he who began the good work is going to complete it. So, you know, God is patient. He may take time with you like he took with Samson. Now, you might decide you want to go your way like Jonah. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. God knows how to get you to become an overcomer. He knows how to get you to overcome the things you need to overcome so that you can fulfill the will of God. Because to fulfill his will, you need to overcome self. That's the biggest thing we need to overcome is self. Because your greatest enemy isn't the devil. Your greatest enemy looks at you in the mirror whenever you look in the mirror. It's yourself because we get in the way. Sometimes we think we know about it. We push God out of the picture. Sometimes we, like Gideon, when the Lord comes and calls us, or like Moses at the burning bush, I can't go. I can't speak. And the Lord will say, who made your mouth? Or you can be like Gideon and say, oh, hey, if God is with me, where's the mighty miracles? He says, but you're a mighty man of valor. But you need to overcome yourself to realize it. Yeah, so that's the key to it. So we need to understand that if you really, really believe that you have been called and elected, you know, you've been called, elected, anointed, placed, like every believer should be, you've got to realize that being an overcomer is one of the things that really distinguishes the bride from everybody else. Because the bride is the only ones who fully overcome the age, in every age. When you go back right through the Old Testament, the New Testament, who overcame in the age? That was the bride. It was the elect in every single age. So the bride comprises only overcomers. We can go right the way back to Noah. And we can divide the whole human race into two groups, those who overcame and those who didn't. And who overcame? 8 people in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he returns. It's exactly the same conditions of time, but they were overcomers. God made sure he had overcomers. Yeah, these overcomers, they built the ark. They were part of God's program for the day. They found refuge. And if you listen to that message when the prophet speaks about it, Noah and his family, they were never satisfied until they were safely sealed in. Yeah, they weren't satisfied just when the ark was still in its framework. They weren't satisfied when they put the pitch on the outside and everything was watertight. They weren't satisfied when the animals had all come in. They were only satisfied and safe once that door was closed and they were sealed in. And there came that point where the door was closed and you were either sealed in and you were sealed out. And every one of those that were sealed in, they were the overcomers of the age. They overcame the age. They overcame the conditions of that age and everybody else perished. Many might have sympathized. Many might have come to help Noah for a while. Many might have contributed to the building fund, you know, Noah's building fund, and done a lot of work. But that's not really what it was all about. No, there were people that needed to overcome. And when they overcame, that's when they did the will of God. That's when they were really, really fully in the program of God. And they manifest in their day what God wanted manifest in that day was to build an ark, which is a type of being in Christ, is being in the ark. So, you know, right the way back, God is always, in every age, he's had his overcomers. What about in the days of Lot? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. I just put there, remember Lot's wife, because those saints that have just come back from the youth camp, you know, Lot's wife had a very serious supernatural experience. When those angels came into her house, they had a house meeting and the glory of God came down and the angel actually came and touched her, spoke personally to her, told her to flee the city, took her by the hand. She had a supernatural touch. She was actually led by the supernatural, pulled by the supernatural out of the city. But where did she go wrong? She stopped short. Now, when they were told, go to Zoar, go to the city of refuge, don't stop until you're safely inside of there, she did well. She came out and that supernatural experience had it took her only so far. Then she looked back again. Then she looked, your heart was still back there down in Sodom, and she failed to overcome. She failed to overcome herself. But Lot and his daughters, they were the only ones who overcame in Sodom. You know, they were the only ones who made it into safety. Now, you know, Abraham and his group, the elected, they were up there on the hill. That's a different thing. But I'm just taking it from the message. How can I overcome? But Abraham says that. He says it was only Lot and his daughters who overcame there. You know, Mrs. Lot, she made that mistake. You know, that's why we got to be careful of just trusting in that supernatural touch. You know, that's what the young ones from the camp, they said, Brother John Andes was preaching about that. Now, about that campground experience is glorious and it's wonderful. But when you get beyond the camp, make sure you go all the way. Make sure you don't look back, you know, because the supernatural experience doesn't change your nature. No, it's trial and your attitude in trial that changes your nature. Character is not brought about in your life through a supernatural experience. Character is not a gift, it's a victory. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's overcoming the things you need to overcome. We'll see, he'll give you all the resources. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. He'll give you the quickening power. He'll give you the power of the word. He'll give you the power of fellowship. He'll give you the power of prayer. Every resource that you need to overcome, but we've got to utilize those resources. And we've got to recognize our enemy and know, what is it that's holding me back from being an overcomer? Because it's imperative that we overcome the age that we're in. We must remember Lot's wife. She's a very big example. She sat in the meetings many times. She listened to the prophet Abraham. She could tell you all Abraham's life story and all of his testimonies when he was out hunting and all those kind of things. You know, she knew the supernatural books of Abraham through and through. But in the end, she failed to overcome. And she was left as a memorial now, as a pillar of salt. And there's those places, you find them there in Jordan. And there's that pillar of salt like Lot's wife. Whenever you break a piece off, it grows back on again. She was left as a memorial according to scripture. What about going through the Bible to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in Babylon, which is another type of our age. We write in Babylon, Revelations 18. The mighty angel came down and said, Babylon the great has fallen, has become a cage of every unclean and hateful, but come out from among them. Come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins, lest you become partaker of her plagues. So it's such a type of our day. But it doesn't matter. God's not intimidated by Babylon. He'll have people that will overcome in Babylon. He always has. Abraham came out from Babel. That's when the Lord called him, just when the Tower of Babel was built. That's when Abraham, the Lord called him and told him to separate himself. Babel was Genesis 11. Abraham's called Genesis 12. God will always have his overcomers that he calls out and will show as a witness that you can live above those conditions of the day. But it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. You're never going to do it through self-will. Sincerity is good, but it's not enough. You're going to need to recognize your day. You're going to need to recognize Christ and his works and his resources and his grace and his mercy. The first thing you need to do is recognize your enemy. Then you need to recognize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Those are the two things that you need to recognize if you want to be an overcomer. Now, what about these Hebrew children? What about Daniel? Now, Daniel was such a witness in that age. Yeah, when all the rest, we only hear of these four Hebrews in that age. Where were the rest of them? When the sackbut and the harp and the psaltery that sounded and all the rock and boogie boogie music started to play, all the, you know, I don't know what kind, rumba and all that now. And they were told, whenever you hear the sound, everyone must bow down and worship this idol. Why do we only hear of three of them being thrown into the fiery furnace? Where were the rest of them? Yeah, there were hundreds of thousands. How many know, who knows how many Hebrews had been taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar? But there were these ones that were the overcomers. So you'll always find that. There were the rest who had faith, and they were the children of Abraham and that, but they weren't overcomers in the age. They could profess, you know, and they had a walk with God in a measure, but they weren't overcomers. And that's why they never inherited the greater promises. They never inherited the full inheritance in the age where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Daniel did. They saw and experienced the greater works, the power and potential of God in his people in that age. But the rest of the people, the religious, but they weren't overcomers. You know, so you always find the scripture divides it. And you'll always find the overcomers is such a minority out of the whole group. You know, it's always like it. It never, ever changes. The Lord actually said to Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, if you go and continue reading on with Daniel, he said to Daniel, go your way till the time of the end, for you shall rest, you shall sleep, and you'll stand in your lot at the end of days. The Lord said to Daniel, Daniel, don't you worry. All these things I've shown you, you will be a partaker of them. This resurrection and all of these kind of things, you will sleep and you'll stand in your lot at the end of days. You know, and that's the promise to the overcomer, as we'll see. And then you'll find in Matthew chapter 27, this year I really decided, I said, hey, it takes a lot of time to make slides that have got scriptures on them. So I said, this year, no, Bible study will be Bible study. You know, so all we're going to do is put the scripture like that, and people must read their Bibles this year, because we need to know better how to use the weapons of our warfare. So if you don't have a Bible, somebody, there's a spare Bible over here, or share Bibles. But even the saints, they're online. I know people are very good on their phones with the Bible. It's quick to find things. Matthew 27. Let's think of this. This is the rapture now. This is now the second rapture, third rapture you're going to find in the Bible. The first rapture was Enoch. He was translated. God took him. Second rapture was Elijah. He never saw death. He was taken up in a fiery chariot. This is the middle of the five raptures. This is the keystone. This joins the old and the new together. Matthew 27, verse 50. And it speaks about when Jesus was on the cross. Let's just have a look here and see what happened to all those overcomers in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Are they still there in the grave? Where are those overcomers of the Old Testament now? Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. We know the scripture well. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So Jesus died on the cross. What was that loud voice? It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Then he died. And as soon as he died, verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two, twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So the veil was rent. It was the end of the Old Testament dispensation. It was the end of the law, which had veiled man, God from man. That was rent. Now we can go boldly into the presence of God. Whenever you come into the presence of God and I come into the presence of God, we should think back to that moment there, the price that it cost to allow us to come freely into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, only the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement could go beyond that veil, sprinkle the blood seven times on the mercy seat. But you and I now in our souls can come directly with boldness, the Bible says, seeking grace to help in time of need. And we're encouraged, come boldly, says, to the throne of grace. My, it's a powerful thing. It was all because of that moment when Jesus said, it is finished. It was finished. And God said, amen from heaven, rent the veil from the top to the bottom. That veil was a thick curtain, several inches thick. It was huge. About 40 feet high, I think it was. And imagine that fiery sword or whatever it is that the Lord sent to rent that veil. And the veil was open and the mercy seat came into plain view. And man, like he always does with tradition, he went and he sewed it up again. And the Jews went and sewed it up again. When the Lord opened the way, they went and closed up the way once again. It's a sad thing to think about. But that's what happened. Look what happened in verse 52. Once the veil was rent, the earth quaked, the rocks rent, verse 52, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Does it say all of them slept? It says many of the bodies of the saints. Not all the Old Testament saints went in this rapture with Jesus when he ascended up on high. Many stayed in the grave. Hey. It shows the promise is only to the overcomer. This is the overcomers that are coming out of the grave here. Because the Lord said to Daniel, Daniel, go your way, sleep. You're not going to die, you're going to sleep. And you're going to come up in your turn. And when Jesus cried, Daniel came out from paradise. Now he was clothed once again. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all those overcomers of the Old Testament, they came out now. In their rapture, and God gathered that great harvest of every single overcomer in the Old Testament went up in that rapture. Every single one of them. Look what it says in verse 54, or verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. So many arose and appeared to many. Yeah. They didn't appear to everybody. And it appeared only to some people. Only some people saw those Old Testament overcomers rise. You see, it's only those who were the overcomers in their age who saw the overcomers of the past rise. And that's exactly 1 Thessalonians. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive, the overcomers who are alive, will see them, will be caught up together with them, go to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air. So you can see that it's only the overcomers that are partakers of these things. That's why it's so very important to be an overcomer, because the promises are only to the overcomer, as we'll see. So right up to verse 53, came out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So appeared unto so certain people, their eyes were opened and saw in that dimension the many of them. So only the overcomers will be in the rapture. That's absolutely a spiritual principle. That's why it's so important to be an overcomer. No person who's not an overcomer will be in the rapture. It can't be. It's just not the way. God doesn't do things like that. If you are called by God, if you're elected by God, he's going to anoint you, he's going to place you. He's going to teach you, he's going to guide you, lead you. And the most fertile field is the field of failure. The greatest lessons, the greatest virtue that you're going to glean from your own life and the life of others is through your mistakes, through your failures, because we learn obedience through the things we suffer. That's what it says about Jesus. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, mature, fully equipped, he became the author of salvation to all that believe in him. So he went first. He had to overcome first. But now we, he's our older brother. He's the captain of our salvation. He was made perfect by his sufferings, the Bible says. You know, so he had to overcome in his age. And each and every child of God, God has placed you in this age so he can demonstrate my children will overcome in any age. Doesn't matter where you place them. If they just follow the principles of overcoming, my children will overcome. But only the overcomers are going to be in the rapture. You know, there's no other way that we can put it. The rest of the church will go through the tribulation. Yay. So this resurrection, this the fourth rapture coming up now, which is our rapture, there's going to be many of the saints arise. Because what is a saint? It's a sanctified one. Yeah, you can see where we're going here. We'll get into it in a couple of slides time. But the rest of the church will go through the tribulation because they never overcame. So they're going to have to go and learn some principles of overcoming through the fire. You see, and that's why they're going to the tribulation. The tribulation period has a threefold purpose. Number one, it's to purge the foolish virgin. Number two, it's to purge Israel, the 144,000. Thirdly, it's to purge the earth for the millennium. You know, so it's a threefold purpose. So even in the tribulation, there's a redemptive purpose because it's under the seals of redemption. There's still a redemptive purpose in it. You know, so that's a purging time. If people didn't learn and walk in and overcome and walk in the principles of overcoming, the Lord has to take them to stay behind after school for a while, you know, to learn some extra lessons in the tribulation period. And that's a serious thing to think about. I just put this picture for those who haven't seen it before, but what's the next event you're waiting for is the rapture. And every overcomer from the New Testament days, right from the time of Paul, right the way through to the dark ages, the age of the martyrs, Antipas, my faithful martyr, all the way through the Reformation, all the way through the missionary age, Wesley, the Pentecostal age, Azusa Street, every single overcomer right up to now, Brother George Martin and those that have all gone before us, Brother Billy there from Belfast, every single one of them, they're going to come up in the rapture and be caught up together with those who are alive and remain, the overcomers that are alive and remain. And will be caught up together to go to the wedding supper. Yeah, because Christ, he's an overcomer. He only marries overcomers. His bride is an overcomer. Every single member of the bride is an overcomer. And then there's the tribulation on earth. And that's the purging time now. Yeah. Then Christ comes back with his bride on white horses, come Armageddon, smites the earth, you know, judge comes to rule with his rod of iron. Satan's bound, cast into prison for 1,000 years. And the saints now inherit the earth. Jesus said, do you not know that saints shall judge the earth? You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. It's the overcomers that will be in the millennium. We'll see that only the overcomers will be in the millennium. The Bible says the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years until the millennium was complete. And then they come up to be judged by the overcomers. Because Paul says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the earth? It's the overcomers that will judge the earth. You'll stand with Christ in judgment. And it says 1,000,000 ministered to him. That's his bride. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's the people being judged. But the overcomers already judged. There's no judgment to an overcomer. If you in Christ today, the Bible says there's no condemnation. There's no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. No, Christ has already borne your judgment absolutely perfectly. It is finished. There's no condemnation to the believer. But to someone who's not really in Christ, to someone who's just religious, who hasn't really overcome, they still have to go and stand in the judgment now and be judged out of the books, the Bible says, according to their works, at the white throne judgment. And then we move into the new heavens and the new earth. So let's just summarize on that. What are we speaking about here? Obviously, it's the wise and the foolish virgin. The thing to remember is every single one of them were virgin. They were the same material. They were saints. They were sanctified people. Yeah, they were virgins. They weren't worldly people. They were, or if you looked at them outwardly, you would see no difference. Yeah, that's how it was. They were all gathered, dressed the same. You know, they were sanctified, holy people. They were virgins. But only the overcomers went in. And the other ones who never overcame. So it shows the principle from here, which we'll get into maybe next time by the grace of God, is that what was the difference between these two groups, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins? It's not that the wise virgin were a better caliber of person and they could overcome because they were some superhuman people. They were the same as the ones who didn't overcome. But these ones had the overcoming power in their lives. They had the oil. So I'm going to say, you'll never overcome in yourself. You've got to learn the principles of overcoming. You've got to receive the divine resources to overcome in your age. And these other ones, they should have gone and got the resources. And they should have got oil in their lamps, but they were sleeping and taking it easy. And you're so much playing whatever they were playing on the screen. And you know, so much on Facebook and all these kind of things. And they said, okay, one day I'll do it. I'll get serious with God. And they never did. But these other ones said, there's nothing more important like Noah and his family. I just need to make sure that I'm sure. I want to make sure that there's nothing between me and Christ. I'm going to lay everything upon the altar. Anything that comes between me and him is an idol and it needs to be laid upon the altar. And then he came and sealed them, the Holy Ghost. That's the oil in the lamp. So the wise virgin, why they overcame, they had overcoming power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses. So it's not that the overcome in any way can overcome any different than anybody else. You and I can never overcome this world any more than our neighbor can overcome the world. You can never overcome your human nature any more than the other people in your college or you know, the other members of your family that aren't believers. It takes Christ in you to overcome. He's got to work his work. He's got to give you a new birth. He's the great overcomer himself, Christ, he has to come and live in you. And then you realize, great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's how you overcome. That's the only way. We'll see it in that message. There's no way you can overcome in your own strength. And the quicker you realize that, you and I, the better. Because then we're going to go about it the right way. You know, we're not going to have all these false dawns and all of these short-lived revivals and all that, which are based upon human emotion and all of our zeal. That's good, those things. But you've got to go God's provided way. You've got to follow God's system of doing things. He has one provided way for anything. And your sincerity is good, but it'll never get the job done. My sincerity is good. It'll never get the job done. We've got to go and work according to his will. We've got to work according to the way he operates and the way that he works. And then you find it takes care of itself. All of these things take care of themselves if you're just walking in the way that God wants us to walk. But it really shows us, the wise and the foolish virgin shows us clearly, it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And we can see there'll be a dividing line. Why do these go into the wedding supper, the wise virgin, the others are left in outer darkness, the tribulation period? Is because these ones here, they had overcoming power. They'd overcome. No, they had the oil in their lamps. They had the oil in their vessels. These ones didn't. But they were sanctified. They were holy, living a good life. The same. If you looked at them all in church, they all looked exactly the same. Until that dividing time came when the door of the ark was closed and only the overcomers were in. And the rest of them were out. And you don't want to be like that. You want to make sure you're not left behind. I don't want to be left behind, and neither do you. That's how we're saying only the overcomers will be in the millennium. Because in the millennium, it's the bride rules with Christ. And we'll see it maybe next time that crowns and thrones and these things are only for overcomers. You know, it's only the overcomer inherits these things. We'll get on to it a little bit, and then we'll finish off. But the millennium. So the rapture is only for the overcomer. And I mean, if you go back to that slide, only those who go in the rapture are in the millennium. So overcoming is a prerequisite to be in the millennium. And only they stand with Christ in judgment. And what's the final thing? The Bible says the rest of the dead, the millennium, live not for 1,000 years. But only the overcomers will be in the New Jerusalem. The rest of the people will live outside the city. It's the bridal chamber. That's what the New Jerusalem, to live in that city is reserved only for the overcomer. It's the city of the overcomer. It's only going to be the overcomers of the Old Testament and the overcomers of the New Testament that inherit that city. The rest of the people, you read your Revelation, maybe you'll look at it on Sunday, but the rest of the people, they grow and plant and all that kind of stuff outside of the city in eternity. Imagine, this is beyond the millennium. This is beyond the white throne judgment when this earth is purged by fire and John sees the New Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for husband and this great pyramid city of transparent gold with these great walls with 12 foundations and gates of pearl and so forth. But the only ones who can live in those city are the overcomers. It's reserved for that. The rest, they live outside of the city. Only in the city, the Lamb is the light of the city. The rest of the world needs still the sun and the moon. It's very interesting how God really divides between the overcome and those that are not. There's grace still for everybody who's seeking for grace. But the promises are for the overcomer. The full inheritance is only for the overcomer. And that's what will show us clearly as we go along. There's the great pyramid city, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles around. It comes down, and you can imagine the paradise. It'll be glorious. And in perfection, Satan is cast into the lake of fire. There's no more evil, no more death. No liar shall enter there, and so forth. But all around that city, the kings of the earth will bring their produce, the Bible says. They'll come and pay their tithes to those that are inside of the city. And on top will be the Lamb. The Lamb will be the light of the city, sitting on top of this great, great, glorious city. It's a wonderful thing to think about. It's a bright future for the overcomer. And something at the moment it strikes your soul, you never want to miss that. Because what a glorious thing that it is. The rest of the people live outside the city. You know, there's still a portion of grace there. I mean, it's still wonderful. Imagine living in eternity, even if you're living outside the city. Like Brother Donnie Reagan said, he said, I don't mind where I live as long as I'm there. You know, you really do feel like that. But why would you want to be like that? Because you and I have been called to be overcomers. Yeah, and we are overcomers in this age. We're his people. We're the ones that are called by his name, by his grace, by election. So why should we not be there? He's proved it to us time and time again, that we his people, that he's raised us up in this age to bear witness of him, to show, like the prophet says, he's going to raise a bride in the last time, to so she's not like Eve. Eve in a paradise of God, she fell. God's going to put a bride, the last Eve, in Satan's Eden, not God's Eden, but Satan's, and she's not going to fall because she overcomes the way that Christ overcame. And so the rest of the people live outside. Now, as we wind it down, the message of each age, the seven church ages, is addressed to both groups. So each church age, the Lord speaks to all the virgins. He speaks to the overcomer and those that are not the overcomers. You know, so the message of each age, whenever the Lord speaks to an age, he's speaking to everybody. Yeah, and we'll see it as we go. But the reward is only to the overcomer. Let's have a look at that. I'll put these scriptures. Let's look at a couple. Let's look at the church ages. Revelations 2, verse 7. The first church age. The Ephesian church age. Look what they promised. So he speaks, first of all, just generally to the age from verse 1 about how they lost their first love and all that kind of stuff. But then in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Who's the tree of life? It's Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is you personally partaking of him, the person of life himself. And he said, it's only the overcomer that'll come and partake fully of the tree of life. Everybody else, he speaks to them. He corrects them, he encourages them, but he says it's to the overcomer can come and eat of the tree of life. Verse 11, the next age in Smyrna, the age of persecution, the age of the martyrs, he says in verse 11, he that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, which is the death of the soul, which is the lake of fire. So he says, the overcomer will never be in the lake of fire. Now, this is an age where everyone has been put to death. Smyrna means bitterness or death. It was an age where Rome was in charge, the Roman Empire, and they were feeding the Christians to the lions. And the saints were being hunted and persecuted. And Jesus comes now and he tells him, he that overcomes, don't worry about the natural death. You will never partake of the second death. And it keeps going. Verse 17, he says, what is the promise to the Pergamos church age? He says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. You know, so everybody in the camp ate the manna in Israel. Just it fell on anybody. But there was the manna that was taken and put behind the veil, was put in the golden Umah, put in the Ark of the Covenant, and under the Shekinah glory, under the wings of the cherubim, next to the message of the hour, the Ark of the Covenant. And when that manna out there went rotten, you couldn't eat it the next day. This manna in the Shekinah presence, this hidden manna, was fresh whenever. You know, it was always fresh because it was in the presence of God. So to the overcomer, he's saying, you can come. You don't have to wait for Sunday to get a feed for your soul. You don't have to wait for somebody to come and provide you with something. You as an overcomer can come anytime. You can partake of the tree of life. You can come and partake of the hidden manna. That's the promise to the overcomer, is you can partake of the hidden manna yourself. What about verse 26? The next age, Thyatira, the fourth church age. He says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. So they're going to rule and reign with him. Wow, he's going to give you authority over the nations. The saints shall judge the earth, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, you think of it, that's a great, the great, greater promises are to the overcomer. The full inheritance is to the overcomer. Others receive things in part, but the overcomer gets the full portion. And that's what the soul of every believer wants. I don't want Jesus in part. You taste a little bit of him, you want the whole of him. No matter which way you look at him, he's perfect. He's the only thing that can satisfy your soul is Christ. He's your satisfying portion. He's the true bread that comes down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, you'll be satisfied. If anybody drinks of this water, you'll never thirst again. You know, so once you taste of him, you don't just want a little bit, you want the whole thing. And that's what he says, come unto me. Yeah. You come to the tree of life, partake of me, but you've got to overcome first. And then you can look in the last three ages, chapter 3, verse 5. What is the promise to the overcomer? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, the righteousness of the saints. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So there's going to be people that sat in church and they got emotional, that, and then they reject Christ, turn against him like Judas. The names are blotted out of the book of life, but never the overcomer. The overcomer is actually written in a portion of the Lamb's book of life, a special portion. That's his bride. That's his elect. He says, the overcomer, your name will never be blotted out of the book of life. Verse 12, the Philadelphia age, the missionary age, just before our age. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. He'll go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. Wow. What a promise, saints. That's a really, really powerful thing. And the overcomers, you look in church, they are the pillars in the church already now in a type. Here, I mean, if you really think, who are the people that keep the church going? It's the overcomers. Yeah. It'll be misty, cold, snow. They still at the post of duty. Other people will be saying, brother, one, I won't say the name, but one minister was telling me that where he came from some time back, they couldn't have church for one summer for a couple of months because the air conditioning wasn't working in the church. I said, yeah. The promises to the overcomers, says, I mean, whether you've got to walk there or whatever, you want your soul to be fed. You want to gather with the children of God. You know how many times the Lord has met you there. You want to be at the prayer meeting because, hey, you want to partake more of the tree of life. You want to come boldly unto the throne of grace. But the promise is to the overcomer. And it's the overcomers that become the pillars in the house of God. Yeah, you really think about it. They're the ones that stand and keep things going. And then others come in as well. And they also start to overcome. And some come, like Brother George Martin says, the church is a living body. It breathes in and it breathes out, you know. Sometimes it breathes in and then sometimes it breathes out. You say, where's that person used to come to church? Yeah. The body's breathed out. But the overcomers, that's why we need to be the overcomers, because the promises are to the overcomer. What about finally our age? Laodicea, the very last age. This is a wonderful one. Verse 21, the one we read in the beginning. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, in my domain. You'll come and sit with me in my throne. Wow. That's power and authority and glory. He says, you will sit with me in my throne. Wow. Even as I also am. So he's showing, look, I had to overcome. There was a way I had to walk. There were principles I had to learn and I had to follow to prevail in my age. Now in your age, you prevail over your age. And then you'll come and sit with me. The way that I overcame and I'm seated in my Father's throne, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, Jesus said. Yeah. He says, you will sit with me in my throne, in my domain. You will rule and reign with me. Friend, not anybody's just going to rule and reign with Christ. It's the overcomer. The promise there is to the overcomer. So we can see as we close, only the overcomers possess the greater promises. Now, anybody can possess the promise of salvation because salvation is free. The song says, salvation is free, why don't you come? Whosoever will, let him come. That's what Jesus said. You know, the gospel is net spreads out over all humanity. God is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to life. He delights not in the death of the wicked, the Bible says, but he desires every soul to repent. He'll give everybody a call before they die. Every person. He'll speak in some way to them, say, set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you shall die and not live, like he did to Hezekiah. In some way, God will visit every single person, because God will never judge someone without first warning them, without first giving them an opportunity. That's the general gospel call. That's really, really wonderful. So there's promises that are just for everybody, because God is gracious and benevolent and beneficent. Yeah, and he wants to bless because it's his nature. God is love. He's divine love. Healing is for anybody. Yeah, if you're seeking healing, you're hungry and thirsting, there's no reason you can't be healed. Jesus paid for your healing. He paid for your salvation. Whatever your need are. But the greater promise is to rule and reign with him. Full authority, dominion, the promises of our age as well. It's not just for anybody. It's for the overcomer. It's only the overcomer that shall possess the greater promises, that shall do the greater works. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Not everyone's going to do the greater works. It's the overcomer that's going to do the greater works, because you're going to sit with him in his throne, because he's going to give you power over the nations. He's going to give you access to the hidden manna. You're going to eat of the tree of life. You're going to be a pillar in the house of God. You know, this thing just doesn't come overnight. Yeah, but God really, really wants to teach us right from when we're young as believers the principles of overcoming. Like he taught David when he was out there, you know, when he was playing his harp in the green pastures, and he taught him now the principles of overcoming. When the Holy Ghost came upon him and he had killed the lion and the bear, and he learned the principles of overcoming. And that set him up to become the greatest king outside of Jesus of the Jews. But there had to be work to teach him the principles. And the principles of overcoming. And the last one, only the overcomers possess the full inheritance. What is our inheritance? The full inheritance is eternal life, is glory, is the rapture, a body like unto his glorious body, the millennium to rule and reign with, to be in paradise. When the second Adam Christ and the second Eve, the bride, come back into paradise once again for 1,000 years. In glory, when the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Wow. And what about the new city? To live with him in his city. the bridal chamber, to be there. You know, that you will have your mansion. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I go to my Father to prepare a mansion for you. He's prepared a place for every overcomer on the sides of that great pyramid city where there's the pools and the gardens and the avenues and the paradise of God. There's a mansion waiting for you. That's how Charlie Pride sang the song, I Don't Deserve a Mansion. And yes, Charlie Pride didn't deserve a mansion because he sold his gift too much to the world. But he says, Lord, I don't deserve a mansion because I was born a sinful man. Yes, and we're all born sinful. But by the grace of God, when we yield to his call, when we surrender and give ourselves over to him, he is the one who comes to dwell in us. He changes our lives. And then we start learning the principles of overcoming. We start to learn to get ourselves out the way. And we let him do the job. And that's when you're going to overcome. That's when you can do things, that he'll do things through you that you never dreamed possible. But you've got to learn these things. And may the Lord help us this year to more fully yield ourselves to him so that we can really be overcomers. So this evening, we just wanted to look at it in that way to show the importance of overcoming. Now, why this topic is not just a small topic, just so that you can overcome, you know, a certain girl in your neighborhood. Yes, that's a part of it. I mean, that's a big Goliath to some people now is, hey, that girl, when she flutters her eyes at me, I forget all about the things of the Lord for a season. Now that you've got to overcome that, yes, like Joseph had to overcome that in his day. Jesus had to be tempted in all ways like unto us, yet without sin. He had to be tempted by the woman at the well, but without sin, the Bible said. You see, he had to be in every single way. So not putting it down, because depending on where you are in your spiritual life, I remember when I was young and when I first came to the Lord and then I had a real problem with one girl. It was tough. I used to go and cry sometimes in prayer and say, this isn't easy, you know, because she was a worldly girl. And I just knew that God doesn't want this. And it was a very, very hard thing.
Amen.
You have to overcome. And then when you overcome, the hardest time is to overcome the first time.
Yes.
Because you don't know what to expect. Once you've overcome it once, you know it can be done.
Amen. That's right.
You know, so you know the principles of overcoming. So may the Lord help us to be overcomers. Let's stand and we just close in a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads. If anybody would desire something before the Lord now, why not raise your hand or just lay it upon the altar in your heart and just come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. The song says, every hour I need you. We can't do it ourselves and we think we can. And I'm sure we all learned it in the last year. In many ways, we try to do it ourselves and we just make it worse. But when you give it to him, when you allow him that is in us to express himself, then we realize that all things are possible, that truly greater is he that is in us than he that is in the temptation or he that is in the trial. Father, we acknowledge thee upon this evening, Lord, that we need thee, Lord. Father, we need thee every step. We need thee every hour, Lord. Father, we know smarter than the enemy, but through revelation, Father, you give us, Lord, prevailing power over him. Lord, we know strongest than the things of this world. But Lord, it's your strength. When you draw strength from El Shaddai, Lord, then we have the strength that we need to overcome. Lord, Father, we know wiser in making decisions than many of the people around us, Lord. But Father, when we come unto you and you give unto us your mind and your wisdom, oh Father, what a wonderful thing that it is and what a difference that it makes. So Father, we ask of you now that you'd forgive us for our sins and our trespasses, that you'd forgive us, Lord, for leaning on the arm of flesh, that you'd forgive us, Lord, Father, for many times, Lord, just giving too much preeminence to self. Father, we just desire to come because when we have a genuine desire from our soul that your will be done, not ours, Father, what a difference it makes. And Father, we have access, Lord, to the resources that we need to glorify you and to overcome in this age, Lord. I pray for each person, every need. I pray for them that are sick, that you touch them. I pray for them that are needing power, that are seeking direction, that are seeking wisdom. And Father, Lord, that are struggling with this or that, Lord. Father, let them learn to come to you, to cast all of their care upon you. Lord, let them learn in the midst of it all that there's power in surrender. Lord, that there's power, perfect power in submission, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because when we are weak, then you are strong. And as Paul said, that's why he would glory in his infirmities, that the glory, the power of Christ would rest upon him. And that is our desire, Lord. As the song says, Lord, nearer our God to thee, even though it be a cross that raises me. Whatever it is that would take this year, Lord, for us to experience you in a more real and more precious and intimate and personal way, let it be done inside of our lives, Lord. If there's things that need to be purged, let them be purged, Lord. If there's things that need to be pruned off, Lord, you said as many as you love, you rebuke and chasten. Father, help us to be zealous, therefore, and repent. Bless your people upon this day that are here. Bless your people that are out there on Zoom, on YouTube, wherever they would be. And Father, continue, Lord, to be with us this year, we pray, as we give it all into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Let's hand over to Brother James to lead us in a few songs. I think I just looked, I think it was just some, there was no questions there, which is fine. So let's hand over to Brother James to lead us in some worship.
I think that's some. It's all by the way of crown.
This is for the day of
the number 20. No, I haven't got.
It's number one, it's number 12. Where are you from?
Thank you. I thought it was 20. Yes, thank you. M12.
His soldier, oh, the cross, no, of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause of blush, to speak his will? Oh, yes, and when the battle is over, oh, yeah, we shall wear crown. Yes, we shall wear crown. Oh, we shall wear crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, wear crown, wear crown, wear bright and shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, must I be carried to the sky on fire? Rebirth of thee, oh yeah, while I must fall to win the price sail through bloody sea. when the battle's over. Oh, we shall win it from. Oh, yes, we shall win. Hallelujah. We shall win crown. And when the battle is over, oh yeah, we shall win crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, we crown, we bright and shining crown. When the valley's over, oh yes, we shall wear crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, Ave. No foes for me to face my side, no stem the flood. Oh, yes, he says, I will be free to grace to hell. Be home to God. Hallelujah. And the battle is over. Oh, we shall wake. Oh, yes, we shall wake. Hallelujah. We shall wake crown. And when the battle is over, oh yeah, we shall wear crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, wear crown. And shining crown. And when the battle is over, oh, we shall wear crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen. Let's sing Victory, Jesus, 22.
I didn't know, oh story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh yes, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I hear about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he gave a lamb to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And Samson, Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He planted me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath a cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing of the song of victory. Oh yes, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I took my microphone off. I need to use your microphone.
Let's sing one more after this, but just an announcement. To those saints from up here in the north who would like to come to Nottingham, please do let us know so we can put you on the list and start getting things going from there. If anybody would like to come for the Easter convention, I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time. Brother Daniel Nazur from Czech Republic will be taking meetings. And you know, it's like us saints that have been to Nottingham many times. It's always a wonderful place to go. They treat you so well. They look after you. And they pack a lot of good spiritual things in. So encouraging everybody to come. Conventions are wonderful. You get momentum. You go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, finish maybe Monday morning, whatever. And by the time you finish, you wish it could go on. You get there feeling like you wish you weren't there. And you always finish up feeling like you wish you could never be. You get into the spirit of it. So if you're struggling with something inside of your life, you get along to those kind of meetings so you can get some momentum. Others create an atmosphere and the Lord can build you up in your faith. And you can find you healed many times, delivered of things that you were struggling to overcome. And then finally, the prayer meetings starting again this Friday. Our college prayer meetings will be at our house this Friday. And then we'll be at Brother Collins the following Friday. And we'll announce all the other ones of the group. It's at Brother D and Sister Dash, and at Brother George's, and I think at Brother Amy. So we'll announce all of those ones at down at Brother George. So that's on Friday. Lots to pray about. There's a house meeting at Sister Priya on Monday in Cardiff. And there's another house meeting starting in Kildare. At Sister Emmy's house. Sister Emmy's husband asked if saints could come and hold a prayer meeting in his house to invite his neighbors. So Brother Wilmore's going to go down there and start on Tuesday. So we really need to be praying for these things so that the Lord's will may be done. So God bless you, saints. Let's sing one more and we dismiss in Jesus' name.
Is that I'm going getting a double portion?
Oh no, this week's our house.
Next
week. This is next week, your house. Okay. You brothers can duke it out after.
let's sing Leaning on the Lasting Arms. So, 45.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting. I am leaning, holy leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on my everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to hold in this pilgrim way, being of my everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows day to day, leaning on my everlasting arms. Oh, yeah, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on thy everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on thy everlasting arms, I am blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on thy everlasting, oh yes, leaning, oh leaning, yes, leaning. From oh, yes, leaning on the everlasting.
Oh, my goodness.